I want to speak to you this morning on a very, very familiar subject to each one of us, I trust. And I'll read to you some scripture, two verses of scripture out of the book of Romans, and then try to comment upon some of those things. And Romans chapter 5, verse 12, very familiar text to all of us. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned." And then Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, in that verse 23 of chapter 6, I want you to remember the difference in the word wages and the word gift. Wages is something that you earn, something that you pay, that is payment for, something when we go to work, we get wages. We get that which we have worked to get. But the gift of God, it says, the gift of God, a gift is something that comes by grace. It comes without merit. It comes without any effort. The gift of God is eternal life. We didn't deserve it. We didn't pay for it. And we certainly do not deserve it. But the wages of sin, the payment for sin, is death. Now, I want to speak to you. I mean, it may be a very gloomy subject, but the word death is, throughout the scripture from Genesis to Revelations, is a very important subject. Death is as much a part of life as living is. When we look at the we open our obituaries. I've kind of jokingly said this sometimes. I get up in the morning, I open the paper, and I read the obituaries, and there's lots of them in there to see if my name's in there. And if it's not in there, then that means I'm not dead, right? Well, the point here is this. Death is the result of sin, okay? Now, it says, "By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death has passed upon all men." And I want to go back to Genesis, to the very beginning. This is what we call the original sin. The sin that took us all down. if you'll bear with me. And before we go there, though, I want to say that there is at least five. The word death doesn't mean the same thing every time in the Bible. Just like the word life doesn't mean the same thing. Every time we see the word life in the Bible, it doesn't mean eternal life. It could be natural life. It could be life in the church. It could be, but life and life, the opposite of death, or maybe I should say it this way, the opposite of life is death. Death is if we had a doctor that came and one of these days they're gonna write a certificate out for me. I don't know what it'll be. I don't know what it'll have on there. But there's one thing that they should add to it. This man died because of sin. You need to put, that ought to be in there, right? Because it may be cancer. It may be all of these different cancers on the rampage. It may be something like that happened at the little children out in Florida. But death is coming. You can just mark it down. Now, is it something that we should be afraid of? You see, Brother Randy spoke about this last week and said, there is nothing to fear. The Apostle Paul said, "I am in a strait betwixt two." In other words, I'm kind of caught in the middle here. I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to go on and be with the Lord, which is far better. But for me, he said, I remain. He said, I have a desire to go be with the Lord. But for you, he says, I'll remain. But I want to give you the difference. I probably won't get all of these, but I'm going to try. But there is death. I'm going to give you there's five deaths that I've studied. There's death in trespasses and sin. There is corporal death or natural death. Okay? Then there's death to sin. We won't talk about that one. Then there is death to the fellowship of God. And then there is a eternal death. Everyone that is not in the covenant of grace will suffer the eternal death. But I want to go now, remember there is death in sin, and corporal natural death. And then there is death to sin. And then there is death to the fellowship of God. And then there is eternal death. I want to read to you in Genesis chapter 1. And this is the very beginning. I know this is very familiar. You've probably heard all your life. But I hope that there's some things in here that I'll be able to bring forth to renew your thinking a little. In verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image." You know, the pronouns here is very telling, isn't it? Let us make man in our image. Well, how many were there? There was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We know that because of various other scriptures, but God is a three in one God. There's not three gods, but there is three personalities that's set forth. And we know in John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God." He said, "All things were made by Him. Without Him, there was nothing made that was made." And it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So we know that Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was there. And He says, "Let us make man in our image." Well, and there's many people that would tell you how we're made in God's image. But one way that we're made in God's image is we're a Trinity. God is a Trinity. And we'll look at that a little bit later. But notice this: "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them, there's another pronoun, there's more than one person involved here, isn't there? "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and all earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His image. Now notice this: "In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them." Them. He didn't just create man, He created male and female. You see. So, and now notice again, we're going to skip a lot. Chapter 2, verse 7. Now notice it says, "And God formed man of the dust of the ground." I like the image that it brings. God is a wonderful sculpture. I mean, he takes dirt and mud and whatever, and he forms this man, and he's not one of those men that you see groping around like this. He was a perfect specimen of a human being. God doesn't make junk. So God created man, and He formed him out of the dust. Okay, here's the body. He's all laid out here. There's no life in that body. We could say, although it has never had life, we could say it's dead, because death means separation. And if we would just, when we want to define death, if we would just simply say, well, it's separated. Well, and then you put in what kind of death it is, and it'll tell you, separated from what? He didn't have God. Okay? So God, and it says that God breathed into His nostrils the breath of life. I can just see God. Now, by the way, he had nostrils. He formed him in every perfect way. He had all of the aspects of a human being, except he didn't have any life in him. So God went, whoosh. That's what the word, by the way, the word spirit, if you look this up, the word spirit and the word wind come from the same word. So God breathed into him. What did He breathe into him? He breathed into him life. Life. Life, Brother Jim, is a gift from God. It comes from Him. All life. I don't care what kind of life it is. It comes from God. Every kind of life that you want to talk about, whether it's a plant, an animal, or whatever, there's no one, and I'll go back to my thoughts last week. God created these things. He created a full-grown earth. He created man. And by the way, I don't know how old Adam would have appeared, but he was full-grown. Now notice, it says he formed and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And he became a living soul. Adam became a living soul. Soul. What is a soul? Now, there has been more discussions on the difference between the soul and the spirit than you can imagine. I can simply tell you this, that the soul is the identity of the person. The soul is what you are. The body, this body, the soul and the spirit lives inside of this body, this body of clay. You are clay. You are dirt. That's all you are, is dirt. Without God, you're dirt. And when you look at this from this standpoint, God gave you a life. He put it in you, and he gave you this eternal. I mean, I want to back up from the standpoint. Adam, when Adam created him, he created him a perfect human being. Perfect in every way. But he was created to live on earth. You say, well, what would have happened if they hadn't sinned? Well, they'd live forever on earth because they were created earthly beings. Okay? Now then, it says, and he breathed into him the breath of life. Okay, there's body, soul, and spirit. So if we have no other image, there's a lot of ways that Adam was created in the image of God, but we're made in his image. We're a trinity. And the apostle Paul, in his writings, he said, I pray God, your whole body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The soul and the spirit are the real person inside of you. That's who you are. It's what you are inside. Now then, and it says, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Okay? So, we have God, and by the way, what day was this? Six. Why God wait to the very last minute to create man? He created all these others, and I have my idea that the way man is today, if God had created him on the fourth day or the third day, man would come along and said, look here what God and I did. Isn't this wonderful? God did man last, so he couldn't take any glory. I mean, we have it today that people, they think they're their own God. All right, let's go on in verse 15, of chapter 2, and it says, and the Lord God took man, and he put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Everything that Adam needed to sustain his life and to be happy was in that garden. And his only job was to keep it. To just enjoy it, okay? And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. People say, well, he might have been all right if he'd just stop right there and not did this last part, this next part. But it says, God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. That word meet, M-E-E-T, is not M-E-M-E-A-T. It's not mate, but it's meet. The word meet means suitable. He made him a suitable helpmeet. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast, et cetera, et cetera. Now I got to move on. Verse 21. Now notice verse 21. And the Lord God, he said, it's not good that man should be alone. So God created him something, a helpmeet. But he didn't take something new. He took something. And I want you to remember, it says God created them. The woman was in the man. When God created the man, he created the woman too. Now notice, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. He took a rib out of Adam. Wonder why he didn't take a foot bone or a head bone. I believe that God took that which was as close to his heart as it could be. And it was a woman. He made a woman out of a rib. The woman is not your slave, not your maid. She is your suitable mate, meat. She is what God created you for. Now notice, and it says, and the rib which the Lord God made, the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman. And notice this, he made a woman, but he brought her unto him. God brought the woman to the man. He said, this is a gift that I'm giving you because it's not suitable. It's not right that man should live alone. Now, you know what was the purpose of him creating this woman? Because it wasn't the main purpose of his creation was not procreation. It was to combat loneliness. It is not good that man should be alone. So God brought him this companion, and he gave him. Woman is a gift to man. And you ought to treat her like she's from God. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones. This is now flesh of my flesh. Whatever is in me is in you. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. You know, I read that. It just blew my mind. There was a college up here that said, we're not going to say man anymore. Can't say man anymore because that's discriminating against women. And you ever think about the way it's spelled? W-O-M-A-N. Whoa, man. We're all, okay, I don't like that. I'm going to call her lady. Okay, L-A-D-Y, laddie. But the point here is this. God created male and female, and this is a divine institution that God started here. This is the first marriage. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. They weren't ashamed. My question here is this. What happened? What else could God have done and given to them? Now then, you remember the sermon I preached two Sundays ago. There was these questions. I got some questions. I want you to remember the questions. And Randy added one, so I'll add it in here too. Who am I? Who are you? How did you get here? Why are you here? Where are you going? These are all answers. These questions are all answered in the scriptures. Now then, but what happened? And we'll turn now to the third chapter. I see right now we're not even going to get one third of the way down through these. But this is the foundation of all the Bible right here. You know why they call it Genesis? The word Genesis means beginning. This is the beginning of all of it. In Genesis chapter 3, and we know the story, and the third chapter begins with what happened next. What happened? We have the devil, the serpent, the old serpent, the devil. Now, where did he come from? You know, there's questions want to say, well, where did he come from? Well, I don't know. You know, that's your great uncle Tammy, your great uncle Jimmy. Remember, Brother Jimmy said, I don't know where that devil came from, but I know one thing. The first time I saw him was in the garden. The next time I knew what was happening, he was after me. The point here is this. He was there and he caused a lot of trouble. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said, he said unto the woman, yea, hath God really said this? Did God really say this? You know, he didn't really mean for you to really do this. You see, that's all the devil does. He lies all the time. He is the father of lies. He's a deceiver. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? You know what he did? All he did was put a little three-letter word inside of the truth. God said, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, how much untruth does it take to turn the truth into a lie? The devil added one little three-letter word in OT. And he turned the truth of God into a lie. Did God really mean that? He said, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. And there was all kinds of wonderful trees there. You can eat all of these, of every tree in here. Any of them. But there's one tree that you cannot eat of it. But the fruit of the tree which in the midst of the garden, God said, neither shall you eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, she added that last part. God didn't say, don't touch it. The death came by eating it, taking it into your body. But it says, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. You're not going to die. God knows that when you, if God doth know this, that the day you eat of this tree, then your eyes will be opened and you shall be as gods, knowing both good and evil. Now God said, we read to you, that of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day, now I want you to, this is an important point. For in the day that you eat it, you shall die. Well, we know the rest of the story, don't we? What happened? The woman, when she saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree that she was so desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat it, and she gave it unto her husband, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were opened, and they saw that they were naked, and they were ashamed, and they sewed fig leaves together to cover their nakedness. Before, they were naked, but they weren't ashamed. Now they are. Now, I want you to, this takes two deaths right here. I don't know if I get to these others, but there's two deaths that happened here. The first death, he said, in the day, now Adam lived. It didn't really happen. God said, in the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. I guess they were expecting it to just kill over at that very moment when you take it in your mouth. You know, there are some kind of poisons that they have that you can put in your mouth and within seconds you're dead. Why didn't that happen? Did God not know? He said, in the day that you eat of it, thou shalt surely die. Well, we know that Adam lived 930 years. 930 years. Took a long time for that to take effect, didn't it? But let me tell you something. He died the very instant that he took that into his mouth. What death did he die? He died a death in trespasses and sin. He died a separation. He was separated from God. He was separated from God's fellowship. He died, if we can understand the understanding here, he died a spiritual death. Not that he had spiritual life, but that he was separated from all things God. Now, there's something happened, but I want you to understand that man, by at that particular time, when he said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Well, did Adam die? I'm going to read a little bit further and see what the ultimate results is. But there is a death that he died, and it says this over in Ephesians chapter 2. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. Every human being from that time forward, every human being that comes forth born of a woman, made of a woman, it says the man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth as soon as he's born, speaking lies. He is conceived in sin, according to David. So he says, by one man entered into the world, and death by sin. So death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And ladies, that means you too, because you came out of Adam. This female gender stuff is something that man's made up so that he won't have to be accountable to anything. Now notice, it says, now what happened to Adam? God said, I will put enmity, this is to the devil, by the way. The Lord said unto that serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and thou shalt bruise his head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And he said, and all the days from this time forward, you serpent, and by the way, the serpent was a beast of the field. The beast was not the devil, but the devil took up his abode in that serpent. The serpent was he was more subtle and cunning. He walked on, I believe he was a beast of the field. What's a beast of the field? It's one that walks along and eats with the rest of the beast. I don't know what kind of animal he was, but he is a snake now. He wasn't a snake before. He was called a serpent. But he said, all the days of your life, snake, you're going to crawl on your belly and eat dust. All right. Now, this is what he said to Adam and Eve. Unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In the sorrow shalt thou eat of it, and all the days of thy lives, all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. Dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. What does that say to you? That means you're going back to the ground, buddy. All that you can do in your life to keep this from happening, unless Jesus comes back again, there's some of us that's going to go up with the Lord. I know that. But unless that happens, one of these days they're going to put you in the ground. And they can flower you up and make you smell so awfully good and put all these wonderful things inside of you. But the ultimate thing is you're going to go back to the dirt. That's the curse. Death. That was a death sentence. What happened? Now, Adam lived 930 years. We read that. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, Genesis chapter 5, in the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he him. Male and female created he them. And blessed them and called their name Adam. What was their name? Mr. and Mrs. Adam. Their name, God called their name. This is all the principles of, I mean, that's why when a woman takes on a man's name, that is a very important thing. She becomes a representative of everything he is. Their name was called Adam. I'm going to read that again. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. In the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his likeness, Notice this. What was his likeness before? He was in the image of God after his likeness. But now then, he said, Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, in his own likeness. What's his likeness? Sin, depravity. You know, I don't think we understand how far man fell. I'll read to you a little bit how far that was. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own image, in his own likeness. Adam was created in the image of God without sin. Seth came forth. When he was born, he was born a hell-deserving sinner. Now, I want you to get that. I'm not going to get to the eternal death or all these others, but I want you to understand that there is a death that takes place. Man is born, can I tell you this, sister? Man is born dead. He may be born alive, but he's born dead in sin. Not a little baby. You say, you mean little babies are sinners? Not by practice. How can you say that little boy is a sinner? Because he had an earthly father and an earthly mother. That's why. He is a sinner, not by nature, I mean by practice, yet he'll learn very soon how to sin. Children are lovely. I love all of my kids. I love all of my grandkids. And I love these, especially these kids. But they're not perfect. They're sinners. So he created, Adam had sons. And after he created, but I want you to see the point. He begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and he called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he begat Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Now remember, the sentence of death is on him. And he lived, and now the days of Adam lived 930 years, and he died. He died. And it goes on, it says, and we find all of it. This is genealogy of Adam. Remember, this is the genealogy. This is what happened. The question is, what happened? This is what happened. And all the days of Seth were 920 years, and he died. And the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And all the days of Cana were 910 years, and he died. And the point here is, they all died. Why? Because of sin. Death, it's eternal. It is. What's going to happen now, unless God had interceded for those that was, now this is the gift, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift, there's a gift that comes in here, and this has got to be part two of this sermon, but the gift of God is eternal life. If it were not for the Son of God coming at the appointed time of the Father and coming and representing and dying in your place, then you would spend an eternity in eternal hell. I mean, we can go many places in the Bible. It says that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. There's one thing about hell that you know, that you should know. It's hot. And that's what you and I, by the nature of Adam, deserve. But because of the gift of God, because of the covenant of grace, because of his love for us before the foundation of the world, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh. He took upon us. He took our sins upon himself, and he lived a perfect life here in this world for 30 years, 33 and a half years, and he went to the cross bearing our sins in his body on the tree. And the good news is he came out of there. He overcame for us death, hell, and the grave. 1 Corinthians 15, it says, O grave, where is thy victory? It says the sting of sin. The strength of sin is the law. But if Jesus died for our sins and he paid the price for our sins, that's how I can say in Romans chapter 8, and I'm closing, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We have the greatest, and we should be able to sing victory in Jesus. He plunged me to victory. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is the good news about us. Yes, there is death all around us. And as Brother Randy said, there is nothing to fear. You know, Jesus said, do not fear them that's able to destroy your body, but fear him that's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. That's the one that we need to be thinking about. But I'm telling you that we as God's children have gained the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I have said here several times, go over to the book of Revelations and read the end of it. You know what happens? We win. We have nothing to fear. And that's why he says that when Jesus says that the children, being in the likeness of sinful flesh, Jesus became what we are. And he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered us who through the fear of death were all our lifetime subject to bondage. We have victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. But brethren, there's another text. Oh, I forgot to read all these. He says, he has delivered us from the wrath to come. That'll really make you happy. But we have a great Savior. We have a wonderful blessing in knowing. You know, there's a lot of people in the world today, Brother B, that deny this very thing. They don't believe the creation. They don't believe God created anything. They believe it all just happened. And the world is millions and millions of years old. Can I tell you that the most it is, I'm going to be very conservative, the most it can be is about 10,000, maybe 7, 8, 9. But the earth is it was created full-grown. It was created as God wanted it. And he said, when he finished his creation, he said, that's good. It's very good. May the Lord bless you is our prayer this morning. I appreciate your kind and gracious attention.